I want to. What I want to do next is to talk about Abraham. Abraham is listed in the New Testament as really the perfect Christian. And so, but before we do that, I ran across a list of a whole lot of the apocryphal literature. It's Bible documents that are no longer considered canon. And I've read all of them, and I think I have all of them now, but I want to just review these briefly so that you get an idea that there's this massive amount of literature that at one time some believers considered canon. And a lot of it has just weird stuff in it, but I'm going to just go ahead and review that. Was anybody interested in this? I thought you might be interested. Gospel of Harry. No, that's not been written down yet. It's just internal in Harry. These are the what's called apocalyptic literature of the Old Testament. They're the two or three books of Enoch, the Apocalypse of Baruch, the Assumption of Moses, the Ascension of Isaiah, the fourth book of Esdras, the Book of Jubilees, the Psalter of Solomon, the Odes of Solomon, the Testament of the 12 Patriarchs, the Testament of Adam, the Testament of Abraham, and the Testament of Job. Now, throughout much of the Old Testament, even still, when you read the Talmud, they never say anything. They always say, according to Rabbi so-and-so. But the Rabbi so-and-so always says, according to another Rabbi so-and-so that was a greater rabbi. So you end up, everything has to be cited. And so what they did, a lot of them, is they ended up putting the person's name on it. In other words, somebody would write in order to be believed, and he would call it the Testament of Moses, or the Testament of Abraham, or the Testament of the 12 Patriarchs. And the process of writing down the oral histories that were extant, or what's called the Haggadah, the Haggadaic literature. There's two kinds of literature in the Talmud. It's called halakhic, which is law, and haggadic, which is the stories or the expansion on the tale. So that gives you the idea with there's another whole group called the Apocrypha.
On that first list, some of them exist still, and some of them are.
No, they don't all exist, but they're all referred to in other writings. Now, the Apocrypha is what is included in the Catholic Bible, but it isn't in the Protestant Bible. It's Ezra, 2 Ezra, Tobit, Judith, what's called the Rest of Esther, the Wisdom of Solomon, Ecclesiasticus, Baruch with the Epistle of Jeremiah, the Song of the Three Young Men, the History of Susanna, Bel and the Dragon, the Prayer of Manasses, 1st and 2nd Maccabees. Now, all of that is now in the Catholic Bible, but not in the Protestant Bible. Now then, there are what's called apocryphal Acts and apocryphal Epistles. There's the Acts of Paul. It's different than the book of Acts. The Acts of Peter, the Acts of John, the Acts of Andrew, the Acts of Thomas. And then there's the epistles are the letter from Mary, a writing by Eusebius. It's called the Letter from Our Lord, the Clementine Homilies, the Epistle from Laodicea that was allegedly written by Paul, the Lost Epistle to the Corinthians, an epistle to the Alexandrians, and another letter from Paul to Seneca. Now, these are the apocryphal Gospels, which there are a bunch. The Gospel of Basilides, the Gospel of Cerinthius, our friend, the father of modern word faith movement, the Gospel of Apelles, the Gospel of Matthias, the Gospel of Barnabas, the Gospel of Bartholomew, the Gospel of Eve, and the Gospel of Philemon, the Gospel according to the Hebrews, the Gospel of the Ebionites, or which is really the Gospel of the 12 Apostles, the Gospel of the Egyptians, the Gospel of Marcion, the Gospel of Peter, the sayings of Jesus, the first Gospel of James, which talked about the childhood of Jesus, the Gospel of Pseudo-Matthew, which is, even then they recognized it wasn't by Matthew, but somebody put Matthew's name on it, and it talked about what Jesus did in his childhood while in Egypt. The Nativity of Mary, the Gospel of Joseph the Carpenter, the Passing of Mary, the Gospel of Thomas, the Arabic Gospel, the Gospel of Nicodemus, the Acts of Pilate, the Descent of Christ, and the Gospel of Joseph of Arimathea. Now, the reason, I mean, there may be others, but this is all that I know about, and I've tried to find and have read most of them. There is absolutely nothing in all of those that detract from the gospel as presented, if you have eyes to see, in what's now the canon. So these are all expansions on the tale, but a lot of it is obvious BS. It's, you know, it's stories about Christ killing his friends and then raising him from the dead. It's stories of him fashioning a bird out of clay and then blowing on it and the bird flying away. It's all kinds of fanciful stories about all of the people in the Old Testament. But the point of it is that the people that decided on the canon. Now, the canon was decided as it now stands in, what, 1400 or something like that? Do you remember?
No, I don't.
I think, yeah, maybe, no, it wasn't the Council of Nicaea. The Protestant Bible, huh?
Because the Protestant Bible would have to be a later date.
It was a later date. But anyway, they had a series in the Jewish canon. It was very difficult. I mean, they had very stringent requirements for the document to be considered canon, because I can't even begin to tell you the weird stories that are. So there's nothing after looking at all, if not most of these, I can assure you there is nothing in any of them that would change what we preach here. If you have any interest, I would encourage you to. I'm not going to give you my books, so forget that. You've got to go through the same process I did to find them. What?
Can we ask you for recommendations for books to get?
No.
In fact,
what
do you
listen to
the
tape
in
this Bible?
Huh?
It's in a written request.
No, I mean, I don't want to be part of recommending anything. The only book that I would recommend that anybody reads in the last 200 years is on a theology of the cross by Ford. Theologian of the cross. Every other book, I'm not going to recommend anything. Everything you need is in the Bible.
The Bridges of Madison County.
I have a copy in my desk if you want to read it.
Did you hear that, Michael?
I have a copy in my desk if you want to read it.
On the theologian, on being a theologian of the cross. Now, why did I tell you all that? The reason I told you all that is what I'm going to talk about in terms of the seven consecrations of Abraham as being the perfect Christian. Some of the stories about Abraham came from one or more of those books. But it's not necessary for theology. It's like, you know, the stories like when they built the ark. There were two items that were the most precious of all. Two of them were the coats of skins that God had made for Adam and Eve. Now, you can imagine if you knew that God Himself had made you a garment, that you would save it. And so there's all kinds of stories about how that was saved, and whoever had one or both of those garments, everybody in the world sort of worshipped them or gave them importance. And that's how Nimrod became so powerful in the ancient world, is because he managed to get a hold of that. The other is a stone called the Zohar, which was this mystical stone, and it's in many ways it's the basis of the Kabbalah, and it's the basis of the books called the Zohar. And so, and the reason that's important is because it explains how when that light was inside the ark, it caused all the animals to go in a state of suspended animation. And so they, during the whole time they were in the ark, they sort of were in a hibernation. But it manifests the idea that Christ is the ark, and He is the Zohar. He is the light. And whoever, I can't remember which of these apocrypha that's in, but it I talk about it when we studied this in the Old Testament, because it just gives a further manifestation of the parable or of the mystery that you it's Christ in you, but you in Christ. You're in the ark, but this mystery of the light is manifest. And it's the light is what gives you the peace. But what were the seven consecrations of Abraham, and how did that happen? Abraham's father was Terah, T-E-R-A-H. And it says in the Bible that he was an idol maker. And so most people, he carved these little idols and he carved... No, that's not what he was. He was the man that defined the idolatry of Babylon. Of that whole... He was the idol creator, or the idol maker. When Abraham was born, Nimrod didn't have a son. And so Abraham was chosen as the heir to Nimrod. But something happened, and for a few years, I can't remember what happened. You'll have to go back and listen to all these tapes, because there's a wealth of information on these tapes. But something happened, and Nimrod got really mad at Abraham and his mother. And so his mother took Abraham and hid him in a cave for several years, total darkness. And so when Abraham came out of the cave, and he was supposedly 12 or 14 years old, when they brought him out of the cave, he looked around and he looked up and he saw all of the stars of heaven. And every night he looked up and they were there. And so he thought they must be the gods. But then he noticed that the star's position changed. And he said, that can't be God, because they change with time in their position. God has to be unchangeable. That's why the basis of truth for the Hebrew mind is that which doesn't change with time. It's the Hebrew word emeth. So anything that you speak that changes with time can't be true. Then he did the same thing. Then he saw the sun. He saw the sun changed with time. Then he saw the constellations, the signs of the zodiac. He saw the 12 signs of the zodiac. He said, they must be God because those were the gods of the age. When Abraham was, during the life of Abraham, it changed from the God, which comes before Taurus.
I have to look on the chart.
Anyway, it was the sign of the age was defined as the first constellation that you saw on the evening of the spring equinox. And so that's why, all, you know, when, no matter where you go in this in Israel, I mean in ancient world, they always had the same god, the god with the head of the bull and the body of a man. Yeah, Capricorn was the goat. That's right. Capricorn was the god before Abraham. Then during Abraham's lifetime, he noticed that the first constellation changed from being Capricorn to Taurus, and so he said the stars can't be the god. And so he was an honest searcher for truth. He was intellectually honest. So when he saw that the god changed from Capricorn to Taurus, he went into the hall of idolatry, or the hall of gods, and there were 500 different gods in Babylon at the time. And he took an axe, and he destroyed every single one of the gods, except now Taurus. But he put the axe in Taurus's hand. Nimrod got so furious that he exiled Abraham and his father and his whole family from the land. And that's why Abraham left the land. So he spiritually, he left the land of his fathers. That's the first consecration of Abraham. And he left the land, not voluntarily, he left because he was kicked out. Same as he was supposed to be the next god of this world, just like Moses later was supposed to be the next Pharaoh, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Both of them were raised in the palace, were trained to be the next god, if you will, or next god of the world, and both of them rejected it. So that is the basis for the first consecration of Abraham. That he left the lands of his fathers. Now, it doesn't mean he just, spiritually, it means far more than just moving from Denver to Dallas. It means he left all of the lands. He left all of the natural. And so in spirit, he went from the land of Ur, or Babylon, to Haran first. Now, Haran is just this place that you go where you don't know what else to do. It doesn't mean anything. And then finally, he went into the promise. And that's what we... I promise you, Abraham's trek is every man's trek. Now, there's all kinds of ancient mysteries about how Abraham... The survivors of the flood were very rare. There was only 8 of them. And there's a culture called the Minoan culture, which I think is on Crete in the Mediterranean island. Oh, that's too much. I don't want to go there today. But Abraham was taught by the people before the flood, when these men lived 800, 900 years and had, you know, all knowledge of the stars and the skies and the mysteries. And so the stories say that Abraham, during his trek into the promise, was taught by the descendants of the people that, and by going to the Minoan culture anyway. But the thing I want to leave you with, and the first consecration of Abraham, is you never leave your land voluntarily. You don't do it for a righteous reason. You leave your land because you're no longer fit. Now, it doesn't matter if you leave because you're no longer fit and you're bored, or if you're kicked out, or if you go to jail, or no matter what, somehow the Spirit of God moves on you to leave your land. Now, you don't leave your land, as I said, from going from Minnesota to Arizona. That's not leaving the land. You leave the land of the earth. And that's the first step. You find out that this earth is not your home. That's the first step of Abraham, the perfect Christian. And we'll continue this. But I'm tired of talking. Anybody have any thoughts or responses or comments?
I'm just thinking about how incredibly traumatic that experience must have been to be raised the way he was raised, to have the future ahead of him that he had, and to see with such clarity that everything he was being told was bullshit, and to respond the way he did and then suffer the consequences. I mean, it's like, talk about, you know, birth trauma.
That's same thing that happened to Moses.
Huge.
Same thing that happened to Christ. Same thing that happened to you and I at different levels. And we're at different levels because God needs all of our experiences, if we leave the land, to fill up the affliction that's lacking. What's going on, Jim?
I was just looking at that message somebody brought up there.
It says, call somebody at 4 this afternoon for you. Okay, so you don't have to worry about it now.
Yeah, okay.
Don't think about it now.
All right.
Get your mind back here.
Yeah.
All right. But you understand that you must leave your land. You must leave and desire to leave the earth, either by being kicked out, being fed up, being jailed, by whatever the reason. You see that the emptiness and futility of the land. Everybody understand? You understand? Or do you think you want to go to New Jersey? Well, it doesn't matter where it is. It's still New Jersey. It's still, you still want to go to the worst part of New Jersey, which I won't even mention because it's too terrible. It'll cost me $5 if I mention it.
I'm going to go to the Playboy Mansion.
Well, then you're stupid. But my question to you is, are you ready to leave the land? First consecration of Abraham. Or do you think another part of the land will give you a future or happiness or fulfillment? Now, the real mystery there is to understand that you are the land. Are you ready to leave you? Because you are the earthen vessel. First consecration of the perfect Christian, Abraham.
And that was even without knowing
anything else.
What was the answer? He just knew that the answers that he was being given weren't.
Yeah, he went not knowing where he was going.
All he knew was everything was wrong. He turned into crap.
I believe that all men are truth seekers, just as Abraham was. But you sell out for the smallest detail, just like Esau did. You sell out for the little bowl of porridge. My question, what is your bowl of porridge today? What will you sell out for? And I promise you, if you haven't left yourself, I promise you, you will sell out. You will be the type of Esau instead of the type of Jacob, the twins. Nobody has any other? Nobody learned anything?
I wouldn't say that.
And why is everybody silent? Nobody has any response.
There's a song that goes, "If you leave me, can I come too?"
No.
Made me think of that though is as I try to comprehend the mystery, I want to. It's Kevin that wants to leave the world, but Kevin can't. Kevin's ruined.
Kevin has to be buried in the earth.
I can't come to as I'm loved.
That's why Abram's name was changed from Abram to Abraham. Ha! Is the breath of God. Was that he changed races, if you will.
Yeah, I was dreaming about this kind of stuff last night. I don't remember the details, but it was just about being really torn between, you know, going something in the world that was really attracting me, but I knew it was futile, and being here. And
I'm dreaming about cobras.
Cobras?
Yeah.
Cobras?
People here in the group,
and
kind of, you know, slithering after me.
What did you say? People?
Cobras?
Snakes?
Venomous?
Yeah. Snake cobras?
We're after the people here, which is true. Just as yours, this is true.
I had a dream I was doing janitorial work with Wendy.
Ooh.
Last night?
Must have been really attractive.
Yeah, it was really weird.
Did you say the cobras?
Ronnie said we had a visitor during the wedding. We're
going after the people here?
Do
what?
Who was it? Was it Ronnie?
Jane? Gary Martin was here.
Jim told me, and I tell you.
Gary Martin was out walking around.
Yeah, I see Gary Martin. I was sitting out here at the wedding. Off a little early, sitting out here on the front porch, and I looked and saw him cross with Julia Feller, and I knew that was him, you know. He passed on by, never said a word, and I said, Gary Martin? Oh,
That's what, he's done that. He did that all the time for a while.
Yeah.
So I went down and talked to him a few minutes, and it just lied.
What did he say? Join the club.
Is that Kent's brother?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His purpose.
He really mistreated when he threw the wheelbarrow across the street. He really wanted to mistreat him.
He really wanted to mistreat him.
I yelled at him.
Well, when he was doing the lawyer's house and he threw the sledgehammer across the street, you know, could have hit a car.
First.
Well, I mean, the whole purpose of the reason that he, in his mind, he was mistreated is because I did nothing but make fun of him because he thought he was going to come here to help us, just like his brother was going to come here and give us sandwiches. Because Gary Martin, he had a vision of this place, and it was he was helping people, and so he came here wanting to help us help people.
And that help you, help.
No, help us help other people. And that's I told him, I said, Gary, I've never wanted to help a person in my life. If you want to help somebody, that means that's what you're eating. You're eating that alleged service, meaning you're eating the garments of. He couldn't see. I just want to help people. Well, this isn't the place for you then. I just want to give you sandwiches. Oh, Ole, you should be nicer to these people and give them a chance. Well, maybe I should. But I'm too damn old to change now. Nobody's going to come here and help us.
We've all had a chance, I think. Overly chance. Plenty of time.
Because if you're here to help, then you can't leave the land. Right?
I think one of the funniest things you ever said was something like 97-pound hailstones are falling, destroying Egypt, and you're running around putting bumper stickers on cars.
The world is on fire.
Rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
The land you once lived in is on fire. The land you once lived in has 97-pound hailstones raining on it. The land you once lived in is gone. If you want to go back to that, that's fine. I don't care. I'm certainly not going to try to talk you into staying. In fact, I'll probably try to talk you into going back into the fire, if that's what you want to do. And people don't like that. People want to be soothed. They want their inner child to be nursed. I want to kill the son of a bitch. He's your enemy.
Oh, my inner child is... I'm like I am because I was mistreated. Mommy didn't love me.
Well, you dumb. That means you were fortunate because you can abandon yourself and leave yourself behind more quickly.
Oh, I grew up in a slum. Well,
you're lucky.
Oh, I grew up poor.
You're lucky.
I grew up ugly. You're even luckier.
Before I came here, that was one of my survival techniques. It was pretty good.
Which technique was that?
The inner child bullshit.
How come he never told me that before?
I may have. No, I don't
remember. Don't you see? You got to stop the illusion. Oh, I just want to get a good education. Then you'll be an educated idiot. Oh, I just want to see the world. Then you'll be a seeing the world idiot. There's nothing there. There's no there there. Oh, I just want to have the freedom, the financial freedom to do what I want to do when I want to do it. Well, that just means you want to be your own God. You don't believe Jesus is Lord, so go do it. Oh, I just want to have a girlfriend. Well, go get them. Oh, I just want to have a boyfriend. Oh, poor you. Oh, I just want to have a drink. Well, that's about the same as having one a girlfriend. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want anything. I am free from want. That's what it means to be a believer. I am free from need. Is that clear to everyone? Does anyone have any doubt about what I'm saying? Do I need to make it more clear, more black and white?
No. You know, when you say that, it just makes me think, okay, are there any situations where I am in need? It makes me think of examples.
Sure, because you're trying to find an exception. That's what I did for 12 years. That's why I studied so hard for 12 years. I wanted to find one thing in the Bible that let me be alive. Let me have my way. There isn't any. There are none.
And you know, but you know, the first time I heard this like, that was like really tough. Leave you with not having your way. I mean, you want to have your way. You want to do the things that you want to do. But, you know, this
because you don't, the reason you do is because you have no intellectual integrity. The only reason an adult wants to continue to do what they want to do is because they are liars. They don't understand that everything that they have wanted to do in the future, in the past, has only led them astray, has only made them miserable. And so, well, I just want to do what I want to do. Well, I don't care if you want to do what you want to do. Go do it. Go do it until you're sick to death of doing what you want to do. Then you can hear the mystery.
Yeah, that's what Abraham did.
That's right. It took him 100 years. That was after he left his land. No, it didn't take him 100 after he left, but it took him 60. Don't you see? You're living a lie. The whole world is living a lie. No, I got to quit saying that.
You said you were trying to talk about 15 minutes ago.
You need to tell Miguel he needs to go ahead and
get I'll get your food. Get your food, Miguel. I'm sorry.
Otherwise, you're going to be going to high school for 7 years.
You got plenty of time.
You're welcome to come to Bible study any morning you want to. If you want to get yelled at. No, my job isn't to yell at you. My job is to make fun of you and your little ideas and hopes and dreams.
Violetta would just come in and get her syrup.
Yeah, she'd come in quickly and go.
Cake. Pretend like cake was gay, invisible.
Yeah, she loved cake for breakfast. That was her thing. Take it, big guy. I don't want to talk anymore. I didn't want to talk anymore 20 minutes ago.
We don't believe you.